He is risen. Amen. Happy Easter. It is so good to worship with you. We are so glad that you chose to be here at MCON this morning. We're so glad to have our Blue River Valley campus here worshiping with us as well. So welcome to all of you. My name is Pastor Dylan. I serve here as lead pastor for almost 4 years now. Doesn't feel possible, but that's where we are. So it's great to worship with you this morning. At this point in our service, I'd like to extend the opportunity for you to worship through giving. You can do that in two ways. One is in the table. There's a plate in the back when you leave. If you'd like to give here in person, or you could give online at middletownnaz.com with the Donate Now button. We have a variety show coming up April 28th. If you would like to be involved in that, you would just see Wendell, who is our worship leader. By the way, thank you, Wendell, for putting all this together this morning. What a great, yeah, thank you. And thank you to all 38 of you, or however many helped us with worship this morning. Awesome. It's great to see so many of you involved, and thank you so much for that. But see Wendell if you'd be interested in participating with that. We also have a bowling night coming up. That's at Rose Bowl in Newcastle on the 14th, so that would be this coming Friday night, 7 p.m., $10. Message our church Facebook page if you would like to participate. We also have an adult and teen volleyball league starting May 1st to June 2nd. It'll be 1 to 2 nights a week. Registration with the QR code. You can find all that stuff on Facebook, or it should be in your bulletin as well. And then we also have our church softball league starting soon. So if you'd like to play, there is a sign-up sheet at the foyer. And again, all this information is in your bulletins. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you so much for sending your son to die for us. God, we would be in a world of pain, shame, guilt, sorrow if that wouldn't have happened. We're so grateful this morning. Help us to celebrate you well this morning. God, as we move forward in this service and we dive into your scripture, we just ask your Holy Spirit be here and be present and be a guide in our lives. God, we just want to take whatever it is that you have for us here this morning and apply it to our lives. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and help us to know what it is that you would have for our life and to realize the impact of the resurrection in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, everything we do and say. We love you and we praise you and we just want to give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are, we usually operate in series here, so we preach 3 or 4, messages linked together, but today we're just going to do one, and that one is titled Empty, and there should be a logo up there on the screen at some point, but the point is the grave is empty, and we talk about some things that are empty, and really the only empty thing that I could think of is that is good is the tomb. When you think about your gas tank being empty, that is not a good day, right? If you get, if you go too far with that light on, soon enough you're going to have to call somebody and get gas brought to you. It's not a fun time. Or maybe you got to work one day and you saw a Krispy Kreme's donut box and you drove by and the Hot Now sign was on the way into work and you were like, oh, this is going to be the best. And then you open up the box and it's gone. It's empty. There's nothing in there. Or maybe you're like me and you have young kids at home and you buy snacks and you go to open maybe the can of Pringles and you find that it's nothing in there, right? Anybody else have kids that just devour the snacks before you can? Okay, we're not alone here. Good. It's such a disappointing feeling, right? When you open and they leave kids in here. Please, if it's empty, throw it away. You're crushing our hopes and dreams. It's so disappointing to get into the pantry, the drawer, whatever, open it up, and there's nothing in there. And lastly, maybe you've bought the party size bag of peanut butter M&Ms, and you're thinking, this is going to last a little while. And 20 minutes later, you've had a party, and it's empty, right? And you look at it, and you're thinking, how did this happen? How did this, one, I'm so disappointed because they're all gone. Two, I feel like garbage right now because I just ate the party-size bag of M&Ms. So we're sitting there sad with our empty bag of M&Ms. What would happen if we wrote full on that empty bag? Would it be full? No, of course it wouldn't. You guys are sharp. You're on it today. What if we filled that empty M&Ms bag with celery sticks? That's almost worse, right? That's just a sick joke. It's full, but it's not intended for its purpose. You'd have never bought it if you knew it had celery sticks in it, right? What if we filled it with soup? That's just inconvenient, right? That's full for sure, but would have no purpose or no value to anyone. So I guess the question this morning is, have you ever felt empty, you as a person? Have you ever felt empty before? I know I have. Maybe you've tried chasing after things to find fulfillment, like relationships or money or a career path or anything. There's all kinds of things we can chase for fulfillment to get rid of that emptiness feeling. And today, my intention is not to hold you here all day, but we are going to look at three people that kind of surround this crucifixion resurrection story who were chasing fulfillment in different ways. The first one that we're going to look at is Judas Iscariot. How many of you have heard of Judas Iscariot before? Okay, cool. So Judas is the guy who ultimately betrays Jesus, right? He's the guy that turns Jesus over and gets him arrested. He is one of the disciples of Jesus, so he's one of these 12 guys that Jesus has called out to do ministry with him for 3 years. He worked alongside Jesus in his ministry. He was a part of all the healings and miracles, and not that he performed them necessarily, but he was there. He was there for all these works that Jesus was doing. And the Gospel of John paints a picture of what Judas was chasing for fulfillment. And we pick up in this story, last week was Palm Sunday, so this story picks up right before Palm Sunday when Jesus makes his ride into Jerusalem and is welcomed as this Messiah. And then we know how the story unfolds. So John 12, verses 1 through 6, this is, again, just kind of John telling us about who Judas is. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining with him at the table. When Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was a year's worth of wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So, you might not have known these things about Judas before today, but Judas, one of the things we learn is that he was in charge of the money for the disciples. So you think of this Judas as being this betrayer, at least I do in my own head, this guy that just all of a sudden fell trapped to this, this 30 pieces of silver and betrayed Jesus. But he had been in charge of the money for a long time, and we're not really sure how Judas came to be in charge of the money. I have an idea, because most of them were fishermen, and then you're not going to let the tax collector do it, right? Who's going to put the tax guy in charge of the money? We're never going to see, the full cut, right? They're going to take stuff off the top. So I'm sure that's how Judas landed it. And the second thing that we learn about Judas in this passage is that he would help himself to that money. So obviously they picked the wrong person. It's the scripture says he was a thief and he didn't care about the poor. So when Mary pours out this perfume and Judas is like, hold on, we could sell that, he's seeing his next paycheck running to the ground. It's not because he cares about the poor. And so Judas has been chasing this path of money for a while for fulfillment. So he's been relying on his greed to fill him up. Do you think he found fulfillment in that? Okay, you can answer. No, right. It's easy for us to look at Judas's mistakes and on this end of the story and say, oh, I would never, right? I would never be like Judas. I would never do that. Yet so often we get caught up in materialism and chasing the newest gadget or a higher number in our bank account. Will we let greed take us so far as to have Jesus arrested? I would hope not, right? I would hope that that would be the case. But this wasn't a one-time event for him, and we can certainly not expect to find fulfillment in money or material things. Have you ever looked to money or things for fulfillment? You can be honest, I have, right? You think life would be better if I made this much more money or if I only had this thing. Have you ever got that thing or that extra money and then thought, I don't really feel any different. I want more money, right? I want the next thing. I want the newer iPhone. It never really fulfills us. There's going to be a picture on the screen. This boy, his name is Augustus Gloop. If you've ever watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, you would know, I think this is a movie from the 70s, so, and if you prefer Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you're an animal. That's not the real one, I'm sorry. This is Augustus Gloop. He wins a golden ticket. He's not the main character. He chases the next thing very quickly, and he ends up trying to drink from this chocolate river. Looking back on it, it does not look like chocolate. It's very weird looking, but, you know, it was the 70s. They didn't have the special effects. He ends up falling in the river and getting sucked into this tube, and according to Gene Wilder or Willy Wonka in the movie, made into marshmallows within minutes. He couldn't help himself but chase the next thing. Usually, we are left wanting more when we turn to greed for fulfillment. And just like Judas, we are left as empty as when we started. And I think we all know the role that Judas ends up playing in the arrest of Jesus. Matthew 26, 15 and 16 tells us, it says, this is the Pharisees talking, or this is Judas talking to the Pharisees. He says, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now, greed is not the answer for our emptiness. We know that Judas, you know, the story ends even worse for him, right? He ends up returning the silver to the temple, and he ends up taking his own life. He ends up being overcome with this greed in chase of fulfillment. The next person we're going to talk about is Pontius Pilate. How many of you have heard of this name before? Okay, so Pontius Pilate, he is the fifth governor of the Roman province of Judea, which is a fancy way of saying Rome was over Israel at that time, and he was over the part of Israel which is Judea. He was the governor, and so he would preside over big things that the actual Jewish people couldn't figure out. And so he is most famous for presiding over the trial of Jesus. And we're going to read about that. It's John 18, so we're going to be in John the whole time today. But John 18, verses 29 through 40 says this. So Pilate came out and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "would we have not handed him over to you?" Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" reported Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews and gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." So Pilate knew Jesus was at this food restaurant because that's what we could afford. On the way back to campus, there's a hill that goes like over a train track, I think. It's on Armor Road there, and there's a car that's getting ready to approach the top of the hill. We're at the bottom, and my buddy says, I bet you can't beat that car to the top of the hill. And I said, no, like, absolutely not. I can't. You know, we're in a Toyota Camry here. This isn't a Ferrari. And he's like, I bet you can't beat him to the other side, you know, to the bottom. Well, I mean, there was girls in the back seat, right? So I, all right, here we go. And I punched it. And I beat that car over the hill to the bottom. The problem was, that was an undercover cop. And so, quickly, right, I learned that crowd approval was not leaving me fulfilled. In fact, it was leaving me without money as well, right? I was chasing two fulfillments at that point. How am I going to pay this ticket? And how am I going to get the, because you don't look so cool, right, when you get pulled over immediately for racing somebody on the street. So anyway, maybe you've looked to the approval of the masses for fulfillment, and it worked out or it didn't work out for you. But either way, it is not a place that we want to try and fill our emptiness. I think we need to take a hard look this week at how we try to satisfy emptiness. If you're looking to crowd approval for fulfillment, you're looking in the wrong place. Right? It's never, ever going to work. Same with money. It's going to keep leaving you feeling empty. If you're looking for others' approval to fulfill you, it will never work. Money, status, power, approval will still leave us feeling empty. The last person we're going to look at today is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was referenced in the first scripture. She's the one who poured out the perfume. This lady has a crazy backstory. She had been possessed. It said, the scripture tells us that Jesus cast several demons out of her when they first met. She had been a part of Jesus' ministry. This lady knows what it means to feel empty, but she also knows what it means to truly be fulfilled. And so we're going to pick up Mary Magdalene's story after the death of Jesus. This is Sunday morning. This is John 20, verses 1 and 2. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him. We're going to skip to verse 11 now, and the reason being is because John essentially just brags for the next 9 verses about how he beat Peter in a foot race to the tomb. I wish I were kidding. Read it on your own time. It's for real. It happens. Anyway, so we're picking back up at verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. So Mary went seeking fulfillment, but she did it in a different way. Mary was heading to the tomb with supplies to anoint Jesus' body. Mary's turning to Jesus still after the death. She's wanting to care for his body. Now, this is a weird thing, but when Jesus was crucified, he was done it during the festival of Passover. So Jews would have either not prepared his body to be buried, or they would have done it very hastily. They would not have done a good job. And so Mary was doing right by her dead friend, and she was going to tend to Jesus' body in the tomb and finds it empty. And so Mary finds that an empty tomb is the cure for her emptiness, right? She's feeling rough, she's feeling bad, and she's going back to Jesus' body, and it's not there. She finds an empty tomb. Isn't it incredible that the empty tomb is the key to our fulfillment, that emptiness cures emptiness? Isn't that crazy? I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's how God works. The Pharisees and Judas and Pilate and all that played a part in the arrest and the death of Jesus. But Jesus also went along with it, right? He could have escaped, right? This is, we talked, Lazarus was mentioned. He had raised Lazarus from the dead just a few days before that. I mean, he had done crazier things than just escape humans, right? He could have easily said, no, this isn't for me. I'll pass on this whole death thing. But he went along with it for you and for me. He knew that in order for us to be filled, he had to die for our sins. And this allowed us to be back in communion with God again. You see, when we were created, when humans were created, we were created in community, in communion with God. They were walking in the garden with him, and then they disobeyed. They went with their will instead of God's will. And then we see all through the nation of Israel, God resides in this temple where there's this veil that keeps God from the people, and a priest can go in, but he has to be very, very prepared and clean, and you have to sacrifice a couple animals, and there's all these rules. And then we see Jesus die, and immediately that veil in the temple is torn from top to bottom. It's allowing God and people to be in communion, to have community again. Think of it this way. You're a bucket. I think I have a picture. You're a bucket that's meant and designed to hold water. Sin comes along. I know this is very juvenile, but maybe you'll remember it. Sin comes along, pokes a hole in the bucket. No longer does it hold water. Jesus dying slaps the, what's it called? The flex seal right on the side of the bucket, right? No longer leaks. The point is we are vessels that were meant to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. We're meant to be in communion and be in relationship and be filled by God. And Jesus does this on the cross on our behalf so that we can be in community with God again. Since Jesus didn't just die but rose from the grave, we are now vessels capable of being filled. We no longer have to go find a goat, go find an altar, go find a priest, and then go into the... Isn't that good news? That we can access God anywhere, and not just the here, but for eternity. We have life everlasting outside of this earth because of what Jesus did for us, because of this empty tomb. We were designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, anything we try and fill ourselves with, money, status, career, whatever, it's going to leave us feeling empty. Without the empty tomb, we were bound for emptiness. If you have been feeling empty this week, this month, this year, maybe for your whole life, if you've been feeling empty, there is fulfillment, but it's found in the empty tomb. It starts with setting aside greed, setting aside approval, setting aside anything else we can try and fill ourselves with, and saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. Since sin has been defeated, that barrier, that veil, that Holy of Holies, that's no longer there. That means anyone can approach God. Not just a pastor, or not just somebody who wears a tie, or not just somebody who has showered that morning. Anyone can approach God. Anyone, anywhere can approach God. That's the implication of the cross and the resurrection. That is good news. Amen? Yeah. That's why we're here celebrating today. That's why we're worshiping today. The only approval you need, the only approval you need as a person is found in the empty tomb. Nowhere else. So, this Easter, my challenge for you as we shutter down here, this Easter, stop looking to be fulfilled by things that will leave you empty. Stop looking to be fulfilled by things that will leave you empty. This Easter, if you're feeling emptiness, remember the cure is the empty tomb. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we're so humbled, we're so thankful that you died, that the veil has been torn, that we are made whole and complete again in the sacrifice that you made. God, help us to remember that it's not stuff, it's not things, it's not bank accounts, it's not jobs, relationships. It's as simple as the tomb is no longer full, therefore we can be filled. We thank you so much for that sacrifice. Help us to just live in that this week. Help us to live in that grace that you've poured out. God, we didn't deserve this. We chose our will, and you chose to save us. And we are eternally grateful for that this morning. God, we just ask that we would be infilled with that grace, with your Holy Spirit, and that we could live in that grace, and that we could pour that out to others and show who you are through our actions, through our words, and just represent you well this Easter. And I just pray that for those of us in this room right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band's going to sing one more song. Use this time to reflect. Maybe God's been speaking to you this morning, and maybe there's something you need to pray about, think about. Our altars here are always open, but you are more than welcome to reflect at your seats. Would you stand and sing with us?